watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come, watch us right away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back. You love him. Amen. How many's been set free? Amen. Oh, I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do. I do believe that Jesus. want to remember to pray for Brother Gerald Smith, Sister Diane's father, as he's there in the nursing home, just in a very, very weakened, deconditioned state. So I want to remember him in prayer tonight, that the Lord will just do a work for him, whether it be a healing work or whether a work to just take him home, whatever his will would be, that his perfect will would be done. Also, I had a phone call from Brother Josh Collins today up in Ohio. His wife had been doing very well for some time, and was actually, the doctors were pretty astounded with how well she was doing with her lung condition, but she's gotten a lot worse over just the last few months, and they're talking about a lung transplant. So we want to remember him and their young family in prayer. Remember her in prayer tonight. Ask Brother Joe Adams to come open the service for us. Amen. If you have a need on your heart, or maybe just these needs that we've read tonight, we can say we can and we will, and we do believe that Jesus is a healer. Amen. And that he can touch each one of these needs tonight. So remember the service in prayer. Amen. Amen. We just heard there's a wonderful youth service on Sunday night. Amen. But we're here again for another outpouring of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord together in prayer. Take these needs to him tonight.
Amen. How many is a son and daughter of God this evening? If you're a son and daughter of God, that means you have power and authority over every enemy. Do you believe that this evening?
Yes.
You have power and authority over every enemy. So no matter what your situation you're facing, whatever tormenting spirit or whatever it may be, also for our sisters, these requests that we read, we have the power and authority over every demonic power, over every demonic spirit that would try to come and steal what's rightfully yours. So tonight, let's exercise our position. We're sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Messiahs.
Amen.
Let's take these needs to the Lord this evening, believing that what we ask, God's more than able to perform. Father, we just bow our heads to you tonight, Lord. Lord, as we just did a youth study, Lord, just the other night, and looking at your Holy Spirit and what it does for us, Lord, as your Holy Spirit positions us into the body as adopted sons and daughters of God. And tonight, Lord, we recognize our position, and your prophet taught us that when a born-again son of God takes the word onto his lips, it's the same as deity speaking. Father, that means we're your agent tonight. That means everything that you have, we're entitled to. Lord, the Bible says that we're heirs according to the promise. Lord, we're joint heirs with Christ. So, Lord, there's nothing that you're going to forsake from us, oh God, tonight. So we just come and we bring these needs to you, Lord, to your throne of grace, Lord, and we exercise our position as sons and as daughters of God tonight. And we tell this demon that would try to come against our sister, Lord, Brother Josh is Colin's wife, we tell that demon it has to leave tonight. We exercise our authority as sons of God. And we realize, Lord, as we take our position, that every demonic power is beneath us, Lord. You said in your word, you've given us power to tread on serpents and whatever it may be, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Father, we exercise that tonight, oh God, and no matter what we face tonight, even in our local congregation, may we just take the words of faith tonight and believe, God, that the things that we ask, Lord, you said no matter what it is, if we ask it in your name, then we shall have what we ask for. Lord, we pray for our brother Gerald Smith there in the hospital, up in age, Father, and we just trust that no matter what your will may be for him, God, whether it be to heal him on this side or take him to the other side, he's a winner tonight either way, God, because he's a believer tonight. He's a son of God. He's trusting in you tonight, Father, and we just ask, oh God, that you be merciful to him. And Lord, we ask you to comfort their family in whatever decision you make, Father. But Lord, tonight we want to commit this service to you. We want to believe tonight, God, that the answer has already been provided. Whatever the situation tonight, Lord, no matter what's the heart cry tonight, you're the Alpha and we're the Omega. Lord, you said that in your word that the Alpha Bride or the Alpha Church is the Omega Church. And Lord, we believe that tonight that we're exactly what you are. We're exactly what you predestinated, Father. And we just want to thank you for this message you've given us. Lord, we thank you for a prophet that come in this hour that ripped the seals off the book, oh God, and handed the book back down to us, Lord, that we can see exactly who we are in the scripture, Father. And Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, that If anybody that would be here tonight, even in our local congregation on the way of the stream, they may not know exactly who they are in Christ yet. But Lord, I pray you'll take the blinders off of their eyes and let them see exactly their position in the body. Lord, you let them see that they've been anointed for a purpose. Lord, they've been anointed, Lord, to rule over the enemy, not to be ruled by the enemy tonight. So, Father, we just commit every need to you, Lord. We commit this service to you tonight, Father. We ask you to anoint Brother Timothy, Lord. Give him the unction of the Spirit, Lord, to be able to leave his notes and minister to a heart and to a need, Lord, whether it be here or whether it be on the live stream, wherever it may be, Father. May your Holy Spirit have preeminence in this service tonight. And may we as sons and daughters of God be ready to receive tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And the brothers can take up the offering, and as they come, I failed to mention another request, but the Lord knows what that was. That's a prayer request for a friend of Brother Amos, Lillian Custer. She's having cancer and some serious problems with her chemo treatment, so I want to remember that need as well. Amen. Aren't you glad we serve a living God? Amen. There is going to be choir practice after service tonight. So remember that, choir practice immediately after the service. Amen. Let's just sing that song. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? And eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Tonight he's wonderful. Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. Oh, eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. We'll sing it again now. Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? My Lord. My Lord, wonderful. Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes. And Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. Omnipotent Father of mercy.
Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. You're days on earth I will wait.
Amen. That very moment.
The moment that I see you face to face. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Nothing in this world. Draw
pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, God, we come to you today, Lord. Just to bow our heads before you, Father. Lord, just ask that you would come this evening and speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would move in our midst, Lord, we pray. Lord, that we could lay aside every other thought, everything of tomorrow, of today, or yesterday, or in the weeks to come, Lord. We just lay it all aside, and God, just sit at your feet for a moment. Ask God that you would speak to hearts, Lord. You see the ones, the souls that walked in this door, and Lord, you know the needs, you know the situations. Father, today, just feeling these things, Lord, God, knowing we are a needy people, Lord, and we have need of a mighty God. Lord, we ask that you would come once again, and you would come in our midst, and you would move aside every obstacle. Lord, every tiredness in our body, things, Lord, that's held our mind and kept us stirred up, or Lord, has had us tore up about things, just may we let them go, Father, we pray. And let the freedom of the Holy Ghost come into this place, Lord, into our hearts, into our lives. God, that you could speak, that you could move, that you could reach down and touch. Lord, that you could reach over to the one beside us and touch them, Lord. The one around us on the other side, touch that one, Father. Lord, just reach down and touch every heart, we pray, Father. We ask, God, that you just help us to step out of the way once again, Lord, and let your presence just abide. And God, just come down and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Psalms 37. Amen. It's a familiar scripture. We've been reading it the last few times we've ministered, but it's a wonderful passage here in the Bible of the promises of God. And I'd like to speak to you again on a people of the promise, or a people of promise. Psalms 37 and verse 16 says, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." Amen. We let you be seated. We looking here at our scripture, we see many promises are laying here. And David is speaking about a time in his own time, and of being a hard and a rugged time that he lived in, and things that he had to deal with, and he was constantly at war. He was a man of war. He was constantly at battle. He constantly had things that he had to do. He didn't have too many days off. He had many times that he was in the midst of battle, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of trouble. And I believe it's a lot like we are today. I don't believe there's many of us had much time off from things of this world and Satan and his vices and his attacks and how he comes against us. He's there all the time, and he's against us every day. Amen. But, you know, he goes on to say, he said, "But the Lord knoweth the days of the upright." Aren't you glad that the Lord knows what kind of day we're living in? He knows what kind of day you had today, or what kind of day you had yesterday, or what kind of day you'll have tomorrow. And it doesn't matter what we go through, or what kind of things we have, or the ups and the downs and the valleys we may have, but our inheritance shall be forever. Amen. That does not change. No matter what condition or what place we find ourselves in, the promises of God remain the same. And the reason they remain the same is because we serve an unchanging God. He is not like someone that puts a carrot out in front of the horse, but it is obtainable promises. It's something that you can grab a hold of tonight. It's not something off in the far wild blue yonder that's unobtainable and we'll never get there. It'll never happen, or, you know, I'm just about there and I've just been trying. But God has obtainable promises. He has something tonight that we can grab a hold of if we would have the faith to say, yes, Lord, I believe that. Amen. And not only that, but He's an unshakable God. In other words, He don't get off track. He doesn't one day decide that it's this way and the next day decide it's that way or something over here and all in a bunch of confusion. I'm thankful that's not the kind of God we serve. Amen. And also, He's an unstoppable God. In other words, there's nothing that can stop Him. There's nothing that will keep His word from coming to pass in your life. Amen. You know, and one thing about Him is He is there with us in every step of the way. And I want us to turn to 1 Kings in verse 8 and 54, and we can see where Solomon was dedicating the temple of God, and he was making this prayer and this supplication unto the Lord, and said he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised." Amen. All that he promised, not just a part of his promise, but according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his promises. Amen. There hath not failed one word of all of his promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. So even Solomon, as he would come to this moment in his life and he could look back in the past and he could testify before all the congregation of Israel that, amen, that what God has said, God has done. What God has promised, God has fulfilled. Amen. And I believe that we can also stand with a surety today and confidence in our hearts. And maybe we haven't seen it all come to pass yet or all things fulfilled. But we know without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, God will fulfill His promises. He will do everything He said. I hope you're not tired of hearing this already, because this does something for me that in this dark, dying world and there's no hope on earth for anything, amen, men are giving up hope, their hearts are failing for fear, we can have an assurity to this hour that God will fulfill His word, that He will do exactly what He said He would do. And there's no changing it. There's no stopping Him. There's no shaking Him. It don't matter how hard it gets or how bad your circumstances get or how impossible it seems. God's promise will be fulfilled. It didn't matter how hard it seemed in Noah's day. God's promise was going to be fulfilled. He said it's going to rain. It didn't matter how much science said it wouldn't or couldn't or this or that and the other. God made a promise and God was going to see it fulfilled. Amen. So we can say God's purpose, His promise can never be defeated. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can take that for yourself tonight, you can realize tonight you are the purpose of God. You are the promise of God. God promised He'd have a people in this day. God made a prophecy out of His own mouth. I will have a people in Laodicea. Amen. So you are the promise of God. So if the promise of God cannot be defeated, that means you can't be defeated. Hallelujah. There's nothing that can defeat it. Oh, how happy we ought to be. Hallelujah. Resting upon a beautiful revelation of the Word of the living God. There is nothing, neither things present, nor things to come. There's no sickness, there's no sorrow, there's no death, there's no perils, there's nothing can separate us from the promise of a living God. What God has said in His mind or thought in His mind or imagined in His mind, what God has purposed in His heart to bring to pass, there's no demon, there's no power. There's nothing that can separate you from God's great plan. What God has said will come to pass. Every seed of God in this hour will come to fruition. There's not enough devils to keep it from happening. Hallelujah. There's not enough government to keep it pushed down and squashed down as China. There were seeds of God that was there. But God came and He tore down curtains of man. And He tore down principalities and governments. Why? Not to just set somebody free in this hour to have maybe more money or more cars or more houses or more lands or more children. That wasn't His purpose. His purpose was, there's my seed in there. And there ain't nothing going to keep them there. But they're going to come up from out of there. It's a promise of the living God. God has thought in His mind, and what God has said, it will come to pass. So we find in the day of Noah, the world was going to be destroyed by a flood, that God made preparation. A preparation for what? To preserve His purpose. To preserve His promised seed. Amen. He did it in the days of Noah, and He's doing it today. Come on now. God, amen, He had in His mind a boat that would go through the tribulation of a flood, and He would make it through there and would make it to the other side. It wouldn't get halfway through and sink. God had it in His mind what He wanted to build, how it's going to be, how big it was, all these things in His mind. And He gives a plan to Noah. Well, for what purpose? To preserve seed. To preserve a promise. To preserve a people. Hallelujah. And He's doing it again today. And He has sent again an ark. And it's not a wooden boat somewhere that a man's building and driving nails into. It's not even a church somewhere. But it is His Word. And He has given His Word in this day. Amen. His spoken Word has spoken Him a bride. And this Word is now for your protection. It's for your comfort. It's for your freedom. It's for everything that you can have. Why? To preserve the seed of God. That she'll go through Laodicea and not be defeated. That she'll go through trials and tribulations. She'll come out on the other side victorious. Oh, sure, she'll be bumping around, but she'll cross through every wave. She'll go through every trial. She'll go through every, come on, somebody. She'll go through it all. Why? Because there's a Word promise for that. Nothing can destroy it. What an assurance upon this solid rock. The resurrection of our blessed Lord Jesus, that nothing can destroy you. Oh boy, nothing can destroy you. Won't you really just do me a favor right now? Reach and poke your neighbor and say, nothing can destroy you. All right. It's a purpose. It's a promise of God. To give us a blessed Holy Spirit. It is the promise of God to show signs and wonders and miracles. It's the promise of God that nothing can destroy you. Nothing can destroy you. That means nothing can stop you. And why? We have been born of the Word of God. Nothing can keep it from coming to pass. Once it left God's lips, it was good as done. When He said, let there be, it might have been billions of years before there was one little sparkle. But it didn't matter. When God said it, it was as good as being done. And when God said to him that overcometh, it's as good as being done. There will be somebody that will fulfill the promise of God. Oh yeah, all powers of hell will rage against it. But it will prevail. It's all right. We're going to have church tonight, whether you want to or not. We have God's eternal promise. We are God's eternal promise. He said, there may be teachers, there may be false doctrines, there may be programs or isms or all kind of divisions come, but it cannot be destroyed. It will never be destroyed. It's the purpose of God. It's the promise of God to see it prevail. It's not up to me, it's not up to you whether it be destroyed or not, it's up to God. We can rest assured on that God will never let our heritage be destroyed, for it's His purpose to give it to us. It's His promise. We can think also today upon the destructions trying to destroy. We have Christ on promise. We have Christ on His promises. We can think of the three Hebrew children that were down in Babylon. The furnace was heated 7 times hotter. All of Babylon was in a rage. They were determined. Satan was determined to destroy the seed of God. For he knew those children We're going to have to be thrown into the furnace. So he heated it up 7 times hotter. But what was it? God was wanting to display his power. In other words, the fire wasn't hot enough for God. The devil thought it was not hot enough, so he added no more. All he was doing was God's bidding. Go ahead, heat it up as hot as you want to get it. It's not going to stop it. It's not going to tear it down. It's not going to burn it. Go ahead, devil, do what you want to do. This word will be fulfilled. God wanted to show he was a God of deliverance. And he likes to make it look real, you know, the worst scene ever. It's incredible. Well, what are we going to do? We can't do this. How are we going to do this? It ain't up to me how to do it. It's up to him. How's he going to do it? Amen. How are we getting out of here, Brother Timothy? I don't understand. It's getting so bad around us. So many things are happening. How's it going to happen? It ain't up to me to make it happen. It's up to me to believe it's going to happen. Amen. They heated a furnace. Little did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego know they were coming out of that furnace. They didn't even know it. They just said, our God is able to deliver us, but nevertheless, we're not going to bow to your image. They knew God could. They didn't know if he would. Amen. See, fire cannot defeat the purpose of God or the promises of God's plan. All the explaining away, all the mathematics and so forth, the intelligence of a world, amen, is trying to destroy the purpose of God and destroy the faith of God and his children. It'll never do it. The faith will live on forever. If you don't want to believe, God will find somebody who will. If you want to walk away, God will find somebody who will stay. If you want to walk away and say it's all wrong, God will find somebody who will say it's nothing but the truth. It was the purpose of God to show he had power over everything. He showed he had power over the beasts of the field when he allowed Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den. What was it? To preserve a promise. Come on now. All the devil thought, I'll be able to destroy this prophet. But Daniel purposed in his heart to do the purpose of God. Amen. Not his king, not the kingdom around him, or so the kings or all that. That wasn't his purpose. Hello. You're here for one thing in this life, and that's to fulfill God's promises, not Satan's purpose. Amen. This is what we're here for. So you got a purpose in your heart. I'm only going here for one thing. That's to fulfill his promises. Amen. You know, he said how it coincides this morning with the faith, the living faith of the living God in his church. There's something in our hearts that speaks. There's a land beyond the river. He said, I can't put my finger on that land. Neither can any man. But there's something within us that tells us the grave is not our goal. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return, the word said. But it was not spoken of the soul, it was spoken of the body. There's something within us, a fire that's burning, a light that's been lit by the power of God, the fire of God. And there ain't no breeze from hell that can blow it out. Hallelujah. There's no cold spells that can come into the church cold enough to put the fire of God out. Hallelujah. And somebody else can get on cold on God, but God will have a witness somewhere. Everybody, half the church can get cold and lukewarm, but God will have somebody say, I believe it. It's nothing but the truth. There's no indifference among the people. There's no persecution of the world that can blow the flame that God has lit. He can't blow it out. For it's God's purpose that his torchlight of freedom will burn into the coming of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. What are you here for? You're here as a torch. A light in a dark hour. A light that is shining throughout all of the neighborhood and the cities around us and the world around us. It's a light. It's a light of God's freedom. Let's let that light shine a little bit tonight. How many lights are shining as good? It's a light of freedom that, hey, I don't smoke no more. I don't do drugs no more. I don't womanize no more. I'm not bound to Satan no more. Let's let those lights shine for a moment. Hallelujah. It's a fire that's burning on the inside of us. You say, well, Brother Timothy, I feel so cold and so indifferent. I feel so lukewarm. You don't have to be. There's a fire that you can get next to. I ain't talking about a painted fire somewhere, some happy, feel-good religion. And you come there and you kind of put your hands up and you don't really, there's nothing there. But I'm talking about a real Holy Ghost fire that'll burn out all the dross out of your life. It'll burn out all the unforgiveness out of your life. It'll burn out all of the sin out of your life and relight the fire. No power can blow it out. The more they blow, the brighter it gets. Woo, Jesus, help us, Lord. It's been proven against in the ages that persecution strengthens the church. Daniel, not knowing how God was going to do it, not knowing whether God was going to do it, but knowing he was able to do it, and knew that God had a purpose. No matter how indifferent we seem to be at times, how strange things go, how the church gets in this condition or that condition, it's all the divine purpose of God to mold us and make us in his own way. Who knows how to fashion the material more than the Creator? But the lions could not eat the prophet because God sent an angel. He sent something to protect the promise. He had an angel standing present to protect his prophet because God had a purpose. He wanted to show that self-styled king his mighty hand and his purpose. His promises was going to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Oh my, we can go on. Let me go on down. Well, before I run out of time, mercy. Go down to Moses, because as we read from Solomon, he said every promise that God spoke, he fulfilled. He brought it to pass. Everything. You know, I was just reading today of a commentary of a guy. It was talking about I don't forget the number, but it was an amazing amount of prophecies. They have went through the Bible and said that Jesus, in the last 24 hours of his life, fulfilled hundreds of prophecies. Just the last 24 hours. He said, if you'd done the odds on that, the odds of that happening, he said, and one man like that, he said, the odds of that happening is like filling the state of Texas 2 foot deep with silver dollars, marking one of them, throwing it in the pile, mixing it all up, getting a blind man and try to make him find it. That was the odds of all of these prophecies being fulfilled in one man. You're defying odds. Amen. The odds may be against you, but you're defying odds. Oh my. Hallelujah. The odds was against the children of Israel, but they defied the odds. Oh, it seemed like the army was going to rout them, was going to leave their bodies laying there for the buzzards to eat, but they defied the odds. Amen. What happened though? Amen. You know, it's amazing. You think, well, they didn't have no faith. It was just something struck me today. Yeah, you know, you think the children of Israel don't have no faith because, I mean, they come out of all the things they've seen there in Egypt, and all the miracles and signs and wonders, and they get to the river or the Red Sea. And it seems impossible. And they begin to cry. And they begin to moan. And they begin to groan. But yet faith still come into their hearts. Think about it. Here Moses, God spoke to Moses and put forth your rod and speak and go forward. And he put his rod forth and the Red Sea opened. I mean, we're talking about walls of water on both sides. How much faith does it take to walk through that? They had to take God at his word. They had to have faith to believe that God told me to go in it. And if God tells me to go in it, he's going to bring me to the other side. Hallelujah. God's more than able. He will fulfill his promises. And this is what he said of Moses. He said that little Hebrew mother, Jochebed, was out there. And she said she took that little sweet little fellow, that little bitty baby, put him in this little woven ark and shoved him into the Nile. Here the crocodiles is fat on little Hebrew children. Because they've been feeding them there and feeding them, cutting them off, their heads off and feeding them to the crocodiles and things. But see, God's purpose, His promise would not be defeated. He made a promise of a deliverer. And this happened to be the fulfillment of that promise. See, she said, God of Abraham, take care of my child. Bring him to the promise that you have brought him for, the purpose that you have sent him. There wasn't enough water in the Nile to drown him. Oh boy. There wasn't enough water in the Nile to drown him. There wasn't enough crocodiles in the world to swallow him. Hello, somebody. He was God's chosen promise. And I'm here to tell you there's been thousands on thousands of demons released into this world, but there's not enough demons yet. Hallelujah. And there will never be enough demons to stop the promise of God. But she will take a body change. Why? Because you're God's chosen. You just happen to be the fulfillment of the prophecy. Oh my God. So God comes in this time, in this age, and He does something with us, for us, that we can't deny. We take a few moments here, just a moment. He says, in the Queen of the South, He said, in this great atheistic, infidelic, skeptical age we're living, I'm so happy that I can challenge the world to this fact, that in the midst of all kinds of heathen gods and everything else, idols and worldly living, there is a real resurrected Jesus Christ. who's just as real tonight as when He walked the shores of Galilee. Boy, let's just have some church. My goodness, I see what He did in Galilee. What can He do here for us tonight? Amen. He hasn't failed. He will not fail. And this great Jesus is in our midst right now. I believe that. He said, well, that was 1957. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're still living in the great atheistic, infidelic, skeptical age. The worst age has ever been upon this earth, the darkest of the darkest of the darkest. But right here tonight, He's just as real tonight as when He walked in Galilee. And He hasn't failed. And He will not fail. This great Jesus, oh my, can we say great Jesus, is in our midst right now. And He will declare Himself to be alive. He is declaring Himself to be alive. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is an infinite God who cannot fail. Hallelujah. It says, not long ago, many of you read in the magazines about the translation of the vision. He's talking about the vision of going on the curtain of time, I believe. He said, I've seen that place. He said, I was there. He said, I ought to know what a vision is. I've seen them since I was a little boy. Yeah, that's the truth. If anybody can tell you what one is one who had one. I'm not listening to somebody who says what is and ain't never had one. All right? He says, I've seen them since I was a little boy, and I ask anybody, have you ever tell me where one was wrong? This is a public statement. This is on tape. This is before hundreds of people, maybe sometimes thousands of people, where one was wrong. It can't be wrong and be God. God can't be wrong. It wasn't me. I'm wrong all the time, but He's never wrong. So when He speaks, it's true. Well, let's take a witness of that. All right, He just made this declaration. Let's take a witness of someone who lived in that day. Said he went to an insane institution, and there was this little girl, 16-something, just completely gone. You could wave your hand, she wouldn't even notice. I said, Ruthie, do you remember me? I'm Brother Branham. You used to call me Brother Bill. I presented you to Christ. I dedicated you. Don't you remember me? She'd just stand and look. Oh, a beautiful girl. Three of them, trio of sisters. And I tried to get her attention. She was gone, just staring off. And I was sitting there with her mother. They didn't have no post on the bed in them places, keeping from getting hurt. And I sat across the foot of the bed, and the mother sat on the other side of the little bed. And this little single bed in a little room. And the girl was sitting on a little, like, seat built against the wall. Sister standing up, the father standing over there. The mother was standing there, tears streaming down her cheeks. You see, Billy, what can we do? I said, listen, Norma, Christ is still Christ. Ooh. You say tonight, what can I do? Let me tell you something, Christ is still Christ. She said, this is our last chance. If they take her up there, you know what's going to happen? We'll never see her again. The treatment, they'll go there. And I said, well, Norma, let's not get excited. Let's wait a few minutes. Then no more than I said that, there stood the girl before me in a vision, normally well smiling. She was looking towards a young man. I looked at the young man and I looked back. Vision left me. I said, Norma, does she have a boyfriend kind of tall and dark hair? She said, yes. I said, does he do something with them in singing? She said, yes, that's right. I said, don't worry. I have thus saith the Lord. She's coming out of it. Said, no, it threw up her hands and caught me by the knee and looked to her husband and said, honey, it's never wrong. It's never wrong. Hallelujah. And I can tell you tonight, he still ain't wrong. He's still not wrong. He's the same today as he was yesterday. Not one of his promises have failed. That girl never changed a bit. I said, all right, Norma, you know what? I wouldn't have told you that unless I'd seen it. And God can't lie. God can't lie. I went on out of the hospital and got in my own car, and they stayed about 2 hours from then. Phone was just ringing when I come up from Mr. Woods down below. It was her father. He was on the phone and said, Brother Branham, I got something to tell you. You hadn't been gone 20 minutes until she came to herself normal. Hallelujah. I wouldn't give up on your daughter. I wouldn't give up on your wayward son. They might just be staring off in space sometimes. And you would say, what can I do? Christ is still Christ. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I have seen a vision. The promise is unto you and your children. That is a promise of God. And it's never wrong. Said, Brother Branham, I got to tell you, she'd been getting gone 20 minutes. She came to herself normal. She'd been examined by the whole staff of doctors. We're taking her home in the morning. Now she sings at the tabernacle. There's men and women here from Jeffersonville that knows the story to be true. If you're here this afternoon, raise up your hands. How many see? Around, all around, knows it's absolutely the truth. The lady, literally, lady used that vision as an absolute, as an ultimate. All right. Hallelujah. It's time you start using the Word of God as an absolute. Amen. Doubt your doubts. Cast your fears aside, your worry, and your unbelief, and say, God, I'm only going to look at your Word. So I'm going to ask you for a favor. Give me your undivided attention for the next 15, 16 minutes. Will you do that? Now remember what I've said. Don't let it ever go over your back like water falling on a duck's back. As the old saying, don't do that. Consider this. If I tell you anything that's not in the Scripture, a promise for the hour, you're duty bound to see the manager here and come tell me about it. I teach nothing but what's in the Word. Amen. And if I stay right with that word, if I say it's this way, it's in the Bible. If the angel of the Lord told me something that wasn't in the Bible, it wouldn't be the angel of the Lord. That's right, because he's never one time told me anything but what was in that word. And you bear me record. He has never said one thing out of the hundreds of thousands and thousands and all the different languages of the world. Think about that. What kind of odds is that? for a man to guess these things, or out of all, not just the English language has never been wrong, but the African language and the German language and all kinds of languages. And never be wrong, thousands of thousands. Every time he said anything, it has always come to pass. He said, I think of all the times, year after year, it's never one time, has he ever said anything that wasn't perfectly exactly the truth in all languages. In the whole world, seven times around. No man nowhere can say but what has been perfectly, exactly the dot every time. And when he says a certain thing will happen, it happened just exactly that way. Until it weeks, months, and years before it ever happened. And it's always is perfectly on the dot. Never one time to fail, and it never will, because that's God. Now, I can fail as a man. Don't ever look to me for an example. I just as you, a sinner saved by grace. But this God, the supernatural, identify himself. He don't have to do that, but he promised he would. He said, I trust that, this is a different quote, I trust that the appearing of his vindicated resurrection this week, what little that we have seen, you could at this time in your stage, be in your first time, be a little skeptic of it. Because the only thing you see is just a minor part. But it's never one time been wrong. It's in tens of thousands and thousands of times. It's never been wrong. How many here's a witness of that? Raise your hand. See? Hands everywhere. Never, no matter what nation, whatever place. It's never said anything would happen but what happened exactly that way. Nothing can be that accurate but God alone. He says, you believe, lady? All right. If you believe with all your heart, God is here to heal you and make you well. Well, that's simple enough. So I'm going to ask you, you believe, lady? Do you believe, lady? Well, if you believe with all your heart, God's here to meet you. God's here to touch your heart. God's here to heal you. God's here to save you. Whatever it is, if you believe with all your heart, God's here to do it. Amen. Have faith in him. Don't doubt. What about you all out there? Are you believing with all your heart? Amen. Have faith in God. God will bring it to pass, whatever you ask for. Oh, my. Let's take God on his word tonight. Whatever you ask for. He said, not these people here on the platform only, but you out there in the audience, anywhere you are, I put you this to you tonight. You that won't be in the prayer line, you that's out there without cards, without anything, sitting out there, haven't had a chance to get in a line, you just start believing God and believing with all your heart and praying that God just accept him right now. Say, Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe it first because your word said so. I believe it secondly because you're absolutely vindicating yourself to be here tonight. And you was in the days as you was in the days gone by, so you are tonight. And I believe with all my heart. He said, see, it not only here in Tallahassee, this has went around the world. Everywhere, literally tens of thousands and thousands of times and thousands of people healed, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's been tried under every fiery trial. I believe it can be put before all. Here's my manager. Is that right, Brother Baxter? Everything. But in always, God has triumphed. And never fail one time. And it cannot fail because it's God. This is now. This is in Tampa. You believe me with all your heart? Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Just have faith in God. Let's start looking on this side over here somewhere. Somebody just look. He says you'll have to stand over here, around here, all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of unbelief. Don't press at it. You'll jump right over the top of it. But it's like a part of you. Catch this for a moment. Just relax yourself and say, well, sure, that's the word. I believe it. not trying to figure it all out and jump over here and be mixed up over here and this. Just relax yourself. Amen. Say, yes, Lord, that's your word, and I believe it. Amen. Sister Diane Stevens, Brother Danny's mother, was there at the family camp last year and was under duress, some kind of heart issue or something. Coming there where us brothers, ministers, was together and wanted prayer. She sat down, and as the men began to pray for her, she said she just felt herself relax into the prayer. She said all of her worries was gone, her fear was gone, her fret was gone. It was all gone. Just relaxed into the prayer, and God healed her instantly. It said, just relax yourself and say, sure, that's the word. I believe it. It's not a bunch of voodoo or hoodoo or this, that, and the other, a bunch of formulas you got to go through. Just relax. Say, that's the word. I believe it. That's the word. I believe it. He said, this little old fellow up here doesn't know me. You say that little fellow talking about himself don't know me. But I know Jesus. How many knows Jesus tonight? He told the truth about the word, and I believe it. Just do it like that. Say, I'm sick and needy and I have a need. I can't heal you. This don't heal you. Talking about the signs and the wonders don't heal you. It only identifies that he's here. Talking about the discernment, that don't heal you, but it identifies you who's here. Sister Rachel Shaw was just telling me just the other day about last Wednesday. Says she never had nothing happen like that in her life. She was back there just praising God. So just things was flowing out of her. And she began to realize what she said, I would say. What she would say, I would say. What she would say, I would say. Word for word. It wasn't man. It was God. God's still that kind of God. I wonder how many, I just going to ask for hands. How many has come to a service knowing the minister don't know nothing, but he'll repeat conversations? He'll talk about things you talk to your wife in the car or at home or somebody else or on the phone. How many has had that happen to you? Hello, somebody. God's still God. He's still alive. He's still well. He's still the designer of the thoughts and intents of all. That's not just guesswork. If it's guesswork, we're pretty good guessers. But it ain't guesswork. It's God in a body. It's God in his church, designing the thoughts and intents of the heart. So no wonder you people can be suspicious. Boy, ain't that the time we get suspicious. Visiting minister comes through and he balls us, He squares right up on us and knocks us smooth out. We get suspicious. Who told him? He's reading minds. Somebody done told him something. Sure did. God did. You know, I've always thought it was pretty humorous and really, really the truth. So it's sad that it's funny, but it's the truth. Brother Tim said, you know, somebody comes through and he said, I've been in situations like that, be preaching, and the pastor over there come afterwards and say, look, I didn't tell this brother nothing. Just want everybody to know. He said, but Brother Tim said, you know, if the people want to believe that I told them, they might as well believe that I paid him an extra $500 to say it. Hey, man. No wonder we get suspicious. That's our human nature. Somebody told him. Could it have been God? Could it have been God calling out things in your life? Don't put it off to the human side so quickly. Well, just all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Amen. Amen. You've been caught with your hands in the cookie jar. You just get over it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that no more. And really, it doesn't matter if somebody told him. If it's sin, repent. If it's wrong, do what's right. It don't matter if somebody said something. They say, thank God that I must be one of your children because you're chastising me. You're bringing correction to my heart. God don't do nothing to those that are not his.
But I'm thankful when the word comes across and it pricks my heart and I say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't want to be like that. It's your word. I believe it. He says, look here, never one time failed in tens of thousands of times around the world. How many has followed it and knows it to be the truth? Raise your hand. The congregation says, amen. Amen. Woo! It can't be nothing else but God and be accurate because it's His promise and it can't fail. He said, now that don't heal you. Talking about the discernments, He's already healed you. He's just identifying He's here to keep the promise. Hallelujah. Now, if He kept that promise, He keeps the healing promise, all right? He keeps His healing promise and He keeps that promise. It's a more sure sign. He said, what if somebody here in a wheelchair, and I picked them up, it would be a good case of psychologists reach and pick them up out of the wheelchair. He said, that's fine, that's dandy. But he said, you got to know more than that. It's got to be more than that. He said, now, if I could say this word, something inside of me, amen, something inside of me is speaking. He said, it's no more psychology. It's no psychology. It's His word. And He's talking to the people and He's bringing it down to it. He said, I wish I could explain it, but there's no explaining it in me. He said, but something inside me has changed to another dimension. And right now, I'm looking right at the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. How many has ever seen the picture of it? Let's see your hand. Sure, I'm looking right at it. Looking right straight into the heart of it. The amber, kind of yellowish green light, turning around and around and around. Who is among us, children? Listen, God didn't tell the children of Israel, say, hey, woo, I got you out of Egypt. See you in the promised land. Good luck getting there. I'll see you on the other side, Jordan. It's going to be a good trip. Have fun. I got you out. Now get over there and I'll see you on the other side. That wasn't God. He was a chief captain leading the way. Hallelujah. He was a chief captain leading the way. And when Joshua stepped in the promised land, He was already there. Hallelujah. With a sword drawn in His hand and a battle plan for the hour. Hallelujah. He didn't bring you out of your sin and out of denominational system to say, "Woo, have a good trip. See you on the other side. Good luck. Might make it. You might not make it. I don't know if you're going to make it, but go ahead. You're free. Get out of here. Maybe if you make it to the other side, I'll see you." No, sir. He's the chief captain that's leading us all the way. Hallelujah. It's a pillar of fire that's been visible among us. Not just some man's ideas or man's words or man's creed. It's been that amber green ball of light that led the children of Israel is now leading you to the promised land. Hallelujah. This is what He said. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. It's God in the church. It's God in the church. In these five predestinated offices, talking about prophets, teachers, apostles, teachers, preachers, pastors, all the five, backing up every word that He said with the Holy Spirit Himself in there, which is the Word made manifest, proving His resurrection, proving that He lives. And this great triumphant general who came down, the Word made flesh, took that Word and defeated Satan on every ground. He said, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Why? There was a word that He could rest upon. Hallelujah. When corruption tried to take Him, there was a promise that stopped corruption. There was a word that said, corruption, you can't come here. Amen. You can't come this far. This is as far as you can come. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the devil tries to come on your trail and he tries to torment you, there's a word that says, that's it. That's far enough, devil. You can't do nothing no more to them. That's my people right there. They're holding on to my promises. I'm going down into that fire. I'm going to be with them. Go ahead, seed it up. Make it worse. Make it bad, worse than it's ever been. Make it as hard as it's ever been. Make the devils as mad as they ever been, as hard as they ever been. Make it as tormenting as ever been, as many trials as there ever been, as many temptations as ever been. It's okay, children. I'm going to be in there with you. Hallelujah. I'm going to be right there in Laodicea. Amen. Had this man preaching, trying to preach this message, apparently wasn't called to preach. He ain't preaching it no more, thank God. He said the bride of Jesus Christ is right where Jesus was on the crucifixion. The Spirit left him. He said, that's where the bride is. The Spirit's left you. Thank you, Brother Joe. Whatever. Because I got a promise that he'd never leave me. I don't know what Bible you've been reading, but I got a promise that said he will never leave me or forsake me. But he'll be with me, even in me, to the end of the world. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, this Spirit's leaving here one day. This Holy Ghost is holding these plagues back and all these things back from coming upon this earth. Why is he holding them back? So you can have a better job or more cars or more of this. No, sir, that ain't why he's holding them back. He's holding them back because there's a promise that's in there. And that promise has got to come to fruition. There's promises laying in Japan. There's promises laying all over this world that haven't come to birth yet. That's why he's holding them back. But one day, that last one's going to raise his head and begin to glorify God. And that chief captain's going to say, come on home, boys. It's time to go. I'm leaving this place. Hallelujah. And when he goes, I'm going with him. Hallelujah. Every promise is perfect. Every promise is perfect. Jesus knew that corruption sets in the body. His nose would fall in. The undertaker would come. But there was a word to stop corruption. Jesus, amen, sin would come into your body and so wreck you, but there's a word to stop it. Hallelujah. What an army, he says, like a mighty army marching the Christian soldier. Great triumph. He and us, not me. It's he that's done the conquering. It's he that's risen. It's his Spirit that's in us. Is he the great victor? The resurrected presence that's in us will raise from the things of the world and unbelief and creeds in the living Christ with every power of the enemy defeated. Come on, somebody. Just relax into that promise. Every power of the enemy defeated. Well, ride on that boat a little bit. That feels pretty good. Every power of the enemy defeated. Even death is defeated. Hell is defeated. The grave is defeated. Every sickness is defeated. Pass from death into life. He said, someone said to me, Billy, you act silly. He said, maybe I am, but I feel better this way. Just let me alone. That's right. Here I've got life. Out there I was dead. Oh, Jesus. We could preach there for a little bit. How come we'd be more active out there in the dead world than we are active in a live world? This right among us is more active. This is an active atmosphere. Amen. This is an active place. This is of God moving in our midst and angels surrounding them. This is activity going on here. There's nothing but deadness out there in this world. And people want to get all caught up in it and laugh and carry on and look at you and act like you're a fool. No, sir, I ain't no fool. And if I am a fool, let me be a fool for Jesus Christ. But I'm going to praise him. I don't care if it makes me look silly. What is wrong with you? There's a fire broke out. Hello, somebody. Amen. Just say, for instance, and we've been kind of talking about this, seeing if we can figure out a way. It's all fun, but it'd be kind of neat. In a new church, we had a button, and this button would activate a fire under your seat. Fire gets you active. Oh, yeah, it sure will. You burn your hand, what you going to do?
pray. Oh, that's, look at my poor finger. No, 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 no. If you got any feeling at all in that finger, you can touch the slightest of heat. Woo! Mm. It's an active thing. Amen. You say, well, Brother Timothy, I'm just not that way. Get a little fire built under you. The turtle thought he wasn't that way either. The Brother Branham built a fire under him. He tried to beat him, switch him. He tried to do all kinds of stuff. He said it wouldn't move. He said, but boy, I built me a fire and I put that turtle on it. About that time, his head goes boop. His feet go boop. And he goes off that fire. Something began to well up on the inside of him. There's a feeling he wasn't used to. Amen. There's a fire began to move, and he began to move with it. He couldn't help it. If fire gets loose in your heart, if a fire gets loose in your body, there ain't nothing that's going to keep it quenched. Pretty soon you'll be like Jeremiah. It's like a fire shut up in my bow. I got to praise God. I got to glorify God. I got to let somebody know. I got to let somebody know what God's done for me. Hallelujah. If God's been good to you, don't you know you can stand and give God praise? Something on the inside of you that says, yes, Lord, you've been good to me. You've been good when I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't turn around to this side or that. Enemy on every side. But you opened up a way and you made my way through there. You've been so good to me that I was in a desert and you brought down food and you brought down water. You've been so good to me that you tore down walls that I could be free. Hallelujah. This is what Brother Branham talking about when that fire broke out there. He said, this people come over there and they squirt a little fire here and they squirt a little fire there and water, 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 water. Over here a little bit. Over there a little bit. Hey, you, over there a little bit. He said, but when that real team from Louisville come, wasn't no little squirting a little water here and a little bit over there. He said, that ladder went up. He said, who was the first one on the top climbing that ladder? Come on, boys. Let's put this fire out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And what is it? It was the chief captain. It was the fire captain himself that was leading the way. And he's here tonight. He's here tonight. He's not sitting on the sideline somewhere. He's not over there and say, whoa, boy, I didn't hardly believe you got here. No, he has led you all the way here. He said, well, no, my daddy made me come. My mama came. No, it was the chief captain that was pulling on your heart. And he led you all the way here for what? For your deliverance. That God could come into your heart and set you free. Hallelujah. Chief captain. Come on, boys. Come on, boys. I'm with you. That fire was put out pretty quick. You say, well, brother, it was a great conqueror. He said, you know, what was it? Well, you say, well, I'm not the biggest family, or I'm not in the most important family. I'm not. He said, I've been in the Branham family for 53 years. Never did ask me to join the family. I was born in the family. He said, that's the way you become a child of God. You're born into it. But the chief captain is leading you through every battle. Our chief captain is leading us all the way back home. Hallelujah. Our chief captain is leading us all the way back home. He says, what do you know? Don't you know that he's here revealing the secrets of hearts of men and women, bringing us down to a close? In this age that we're living in, who else can reveal the secrets of the heart but the Word himself? Who else could do it but God himself? Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged swords, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit of the joints and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows how to do surgery. And he's the great physician. I love how Brother Sean put that. The rest of them are practicing physicians. This is the great physician. He knows exactly where your problem is. He don't need no MRI machine. He don't need a CAT scan.
He can see things that doctors cannot see. Or your daddy can't see, your mama can't see, your pastor can't see. God can see it. And he knows just how to anoint vessels to go in and say, phew, there's your problem. It's a root of bitterness in there. Let me cut this out. It begins to go down. Well, you had this problem. You had this situation. Your family's falling all apart. And situations has happened. He just begins to cut. As we'll see right there, it's blocked off the joys of the Lord. Used to praise God. Used to give Him glory and used to give Him honor. Just keeps cutting. Service after service. Next thing you know, he reaches in there and he pulls that old thing out. And then all of a sudden, that blood begins to flow like it used to. Things begin to happen like it used to. The joy of the Lord returns like it used to. You say, well, Brother Timothy, where's my joy? Well, how to find your joy is to find out what's blocking it. Because if you remove what's blocking it, your joy will return. Amen. It is His Word. It's performing where and unto it was sent. The Word is full of power. It is the same Spirit that was in Jesus, the Word, that is present again in the church in this last day. Are you part of the church of this last day? As a last sign, trying to head the people off from judgment. For they that reject Him, the Word, are now already coming to judgment, crucifying Him of flesh. Hebrews 6 and 6. But now Paul said that the Word came in power as well as voice. The word preach actually demonstrates itself. Whew. The man don't have to do nothing. He just lets the Word loose, and the Word will demonstrate the power. Like a flaming cutting sword, it went to the conscience of men, like a surgeon's knife to cut out diseases and set captives free. Everywhere those early believers went, they went preaching the gospel, the Word, the promises of God. And God confirming the Word, the promises of God, with signs following. The sick were healed. Demons were cast out. They spoke with new tongues. That was the Word in action. That Word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. Oh, that's a wonderful quote, Brother Timothy. I believe it. Back then, God used to do some mighty things. We can read all about it. We can tell all about it. And in this last age, it's here stronger and greater than ever. That's a promise, children. Grab a hold of it. That's the chief captain saying, come on, boys. Amen. Come on, boys. The Word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. Are you a believing Christian? Relax into the Word and say, I believe it. It has never failed. And in this last age, it's here stronger. It's here greater than it's ever been in the true Word bride. You are the true Word bride. You are the promises that's being revealed in this day. Oh, little flock, you little minority, hold on to that Word. Hold on to that Word. Fill your mouth and heart with it. And someday God will give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. You are that promise revealed in this hour. You are the sign of the coming judgment. Warning sign. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. You don't have to go that way. Hello, somebody. Take for instance, just as simple as this, a car heading for a cliff. It don't have to go that way. It can turn around. If it would just yield itself to the master and let him turn the wheel, it can turn right around and go back the opposite way. You don't have to go over a cliff. You don't have to go down to destruction. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be yielding yourself to spirits of depression and spirits of evil things that try to come and torment your soul and torment your mind. You say, oh, Brother Timothy, I've done this and I've done that and there's just no hope for me. You don't have to go to no hope. You can turn that, you can allow God to come to your heart and begin to turn that steering wheel of that heart and turn you around back to the faith of the fathers. This is what this word, this promise has been sent for. Let's bow our hands. Let's sing that song, He Was There All the Time. He's been there for you all the time. You may not have realized it. Children of Israel forgot it. They began to cry out, moan and groan. But He was there all the time. Under the blood of bulls and goats. Maybe tonight you forgot about it. Your ship's been rocking. Things have been happening out of your control. Just remember, He's in your ship. He's been there all the time. I wonder how many be honest, not to me, but to God. Say, Lord, I forgot You was here with me. Why don't You awake the Jesus in your boat? Lord, I perish. Help me, Lord. Turn me around. I wasn't even expecting this to go this way, but God's pulling. He said, come on. Turn me around. Turn me around, Jesus. Going the wrong way. Down the wrong path. You don't have to go over the cliff. He's here with forgiveness. He's here with mercy. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Oh, waiting patiently.
can long.